Well, welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and joining me today is Dr. Sean Lasota, who will be talking about the use of the SGLT2 inhibitor canagliflozin and its impact on cardiovascular events in patients with type 2 diabetes. The results of the CANVAS study were recently released in June 2017 during the American Diabetes Association annual meeting and subsequently published in the New England Journal of Medicine in August 2017. The CANVAS study joins a growing list of landmark trials that have been published in the last 3 to 4 years regarding the impact of newer anti-diabetic agents on cardiovascular and renal outcomes. Dr. Lasota is a clinical pharmacy specialist at Kimbrough Ambulatory Care Clinic in Fort Meade, Maryland, and he wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled Painting a New Canvas for SGLT2 Inhibitors. Sean, thanks for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Dr. Haynes. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Canvas.
So, Sean, if you had to briefly summarize in just a few sentences the study entitled Canagliflozin and Cardiovascular and Renal Outcomes in Type 2 Diabetes, which was published in the August 17th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, to someone who hasn't read that paper, what would you say?
The CANVAS program consists of actually two trials, CANVAS and CANVAS-R. CANVAS evaluated if canagliflozin had a benefit in reducing cardiovascular death, non-fatal myocardial infarction, and non-fatal stroke, whereas the CANVAS-R study evaluated if canagliflozin use helped prevent the progression of renal disease. The trial consisted of over 10,000 patients. In the CANVAS study, patients were randomized 1:1:1, in which they were receiving canagliflozin 100 milligrams, 300 milligrams, and placebo. And in CANVAS-R, they were randomized to canagliflozin 100 milligrams, and they may be increased to 300 milligrams, and also compared to placebo. The mean follow-up time was 188 weeks. The overall results showed a benefit of canagliflozin on the composite of cardiovascular death, non-fatal MI, and non-fatal stroke, but it did not show a benefit on any of the individual components. Both trials, CANVAS and CANVAS-R, showed a benefit in preventing the progression towards albuminuria. They also showed a benefit in progression towards renal replacement therapy and GFR reduction. Most common side effects included general mycotic infections, urinary tract infections, volume depletion, and fracture. One side effect that was unexpected was an increased incidence of amputation, which occurred in 6.3 events per 1,000 patient years.
So, Sean, what do you believe are the key strengths and weaknesses of this study, and are there any potential confounders or sources of bias in the study that you believe may have impacted the results?
The strengths of the trial included that it was a large sample size and had an adequate duration and included patients that had cardiovascular disease and patients that did not have cardiovascular disease. This methodology allowed for a long-term evaluation of cardiovascular and renal benefits. Weaknesses of the trial include only having a small set of patients co-diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. Another weakness of the CANVAS program was that in both CANVAS and CANVAS-R, canagliflozin groups were pooled to compare to placebo. In regards to confounders or bias, I did not recognize any within this trial.
So there have been several studies, Sean, over the last 2 years that have examined the impact of these newer anti-diabetic drugs on cardiovascular and renal outcomes. Two drugs, empagliflozin in the EMPA-REG study, and the LEADER study, which examined liraglutide, both demonstrated a positive impact on cardiovascular event rates, but also on mortality. What are the key similarities and differences between EMPA-REG, LEADER, and the CANVAS studies?
When comparing CANVAS and EMPA-REG, both studies occurred over a 3-year time. Both CANVAS and EMPA-REG showed a benefit in the composite cardiovascular outcomes. However, empagliflozin in the EMPA-REG study had a statistically significant reduction in cardiovascular death, which was not seen in the CANVAS study. However, empagliflozin also saw an increased incidence of stroke between the medication and placebo, 3 compared to 3.5%, whereas canagliflozin did not see an increased incidence of stroke. both studies showed a comparable benefit in the renal outcomes. An increased risk of fractures and amputations was noted in the CANVAS study, which was not identified in EMPA-REG. The increased incidence of fractures recognized in CANVAS was noticed early on in the study and may be secondary to falls associated with volume depletion. Likewise, there was also an increased incidence of amputation in the CANVAS study, which was not recognized in EMPA-REG. When looking at LEADER, the liraglutide was found to decrease the composite outcome of cardiovascular events, showing an absolute risk reduction of 1.9% compared to placebo. While all three medications were found to reduce the composite cardiovascular event, LEADER with liraglutide was found to be statistically significant in reducing death from any cause, cardiovascular death, and non-fatal myocardial infarction. When comparing these three medications, liraglutide actually showed the most benefit for the individual components.
So, Sean, I want you to imagine you have been asked by the chair of the Pharmacy and Therapeutics Committee for a very large health plan, and you're to give a recommendation about the SGLT2 inhibitors. Now, the health plan prides itself on maintaining a relatively open formulary, but uses a tiered copay structure to encourage the use of the most cost-effective treatment. So currently, metformin, gliburide, sitagliptin, pioglitazone, and three insulin products are the only tier one agents available on your formulary for the treatment of type 2 diabetes. Tier one treatments have a low $5 per month copay. Tier 2 treatment agents have a 15% copay with a maximum out-of-pocket cost of $75 per one-month supply. And then finally, Tier 3 agents have a 30% copay with no maximum out-of-pocket. Tier 3 agents are considered non-preferred drugs, and the health plan often requires step therapy using either Tier 1 and Tier 2 agents first before they even pay for a Tier 3 agent to be covered. So currently, dapagliflozin is a Tier 2 agent on your formulary, and empagliflozin and canagliflozin are Tier 3 agents. Now let's assume that dapagliflozin costs the health system about 10% less to purchase, and that's why it was given a favorable Tier 2 status. So based on the evidence that's available, what would you recommend the health plan do in terms of the tier each of these agents should be designated? Should empagliflozin or canagliflozin or perhaps all three SGLT2 inhibitors be given Tier 2 status? Or should dapagliflozin be downgraded to Tier 3? And would you even recommend that one of these agents be given Tier 1 status in order to encourage its use?
That is a great question, Dr. Haynes. I think to start, dapagliflozin, while less expensive, should be changed to Tier 3 based on no currently available data on its cardiovascular or renal benefit. It is difficult to compare canagliflozin and empagliflozin as there has not been a head-to-head study. I believe that an SGLT2 inhibitor should be Tier 1 despite its associated cost because of the potential benefit of the medication. Based on the fact that empagliflozin reduced the composite cardiovascular outcomes and reduced cardiovascular death, coupled with the lack of amputation risk, I recommend empagliflozin as Tier 1 and canagliflozin as Tier 2. However, I do believe that canagliflozin is a medication that should be considered as favorable in the treatment of type 2 diabetes.
Well, thank you, Sean, for joining us today to discuss the results of the CANVAS study and the use of canagliflozin in patients with type 2 diabetes. And I think it's clear from your comments that you think the CANVAS study was a very favorable study. It showed that there was benefits with canagliflozin, but perhaps when compared to other trials, specifically the LEADER study and the EMPA-REG outcome study, not as favorable as some of the other agents, and partly because of safety issues that emerged in the study, which were quite surprising, and that's the risk of amputations. Well, tell us what you think. Should canagliflozin be given preferred status on formularies, or should it be empagliflozin, or should both agents be considered quite favorably? And what about the GLP-1 receptor agonists? What criteria would you use to treat one agent more favorably over another on a formulary? Well, remember, only iFormRx members can leave comments and access our growing list of resource pages. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free. Sign up today. And be sure to sign in every time you visit. Well, until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.